Okay, Sunday morning, 5:26-24, we're going to do a teaching called The Man Christ Jesus. The man, because he was a man, he touched humanity. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. He knows how you think because he was a man. God couldn't do that. God's a spirit. Jesus is a man. Get that through your thinking. God is a spirit. Jesus is a man. The man, Christ Jesus. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures today. The first one is go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. He identifies with your humanity. That's why Jesus sent him as a man, or God sent him as a man. Y'all there? Verse 5 and 6. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus is our identifier. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he walked it out before us. All right, Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The God-man. God with us. Like I said, I got quite a few scriptures here this morning. All right, the next one let's look at is Matthew chapter 1. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin. Well, let me just read 22. Well, you know what? Let's just read this whole account here. 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord of the prophet, or by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. The God-man with us. All right, 1 Peter. 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. All right. Titus. Chapter 3. Starting with verse 4 there. Now, after that, the kindness and love of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All right, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he stayed around for 40 days walking around among the disciples, appearing in different places. This is Luke chapter 24. Verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and heard all these things unto the 11, unto the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. Idle tales. You know, there's many saying today, Jesus didn't raise from the dead. He's just a consciousness, you know what I'm saying? And they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. They're even disclaiming today that that really never happened. The Bible's been changed and altered, and we don't know our true history, and that in itself is a lie. I think we know more than we think we know. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he saith unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered them to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Everything that Jesus spoke to them, and they're doubting already. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Astonished, like they were, oh, you're crazy. And when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses, all the prophets expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made all as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, and by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We never need to let go of the scriptures. I don't care what anybody says. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. We have a friend that said the Lord showed him. The reason they recognized him was, you know, they took off their robe and everything. He's sitting at the table. He saw the nail. They saw the nail scars. They saw his hands. They saw his wherever they put him through. According to the what's the deal with the Shroud of Turin, it shows plainly that they were through here. This couldn't have held his body, but through here. Anyway, that documentary was good, but I had to cut it off halfway. I couldn't take it because they were going into detail what he went through. It was so horrendous. It was so horrendous what he went through. He was near death before they ever put him on the cross. Anyway, I had to just stop it. I can't. I thank you, Lord, for what you did. I, you know, just couldn't listen to it. Anyway, if you like that kind of stuff, you might want to check it out. All right. He was born as a man like we are with flesh and blood. He is not a spirit. I want to qualify that. God is, but he plainly says here that he is not. This is in verse 39 and 40 of Luke. 24, didn't I say it right? Let me look here. Yeah, right here. Behold my hands and my feet. This is Luke 24, y'all there? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the go-between. It's through him we have access to the Father. A man that eats. He's a man that eats. He's eating. Spirits don't eat. I don't believe. No need. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. All right, Jesus walked around in a resurrected state. That's what it means to be changed. We'll also be changed. Okay? All right, now I'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus has a spirit, but he's not a spirit. God is a spirit. That's what I get from this. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So we're going to take on immortality where we don't die. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because of what he did, now we can partake of what he partook of. He was the first fruit. He said, I, like a kernel of wheat, fall into the ground and die. Yeah. Because of one son, now many sons, right? Changed means to be made different. Different. How different? Bodies that don't die. No corruption. Okay. All right, now go to 2 Corinthians 3. Y'all there? Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're still a triune being, spirit, soul, body. God is a spirit. But we have a body. We have a spirit, just like Jesus. All right? Okay. Let's go to... All right, and the Strong's there, that change means to transform or metamorphose, which we know like a butterfly, a cocoon, and a butterfly. That's how we're going to be changed. All right. Jesus said he would come back the same way that he left one day. All of this is, the reason I'm bringing this is because we need to know when the narrative happens, if it happens, that starts leading people astray, that Jesus has not come in the flesh, that we absolutely have it ingrained in us that yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right. Acts chapter 1. Okay, we're going to look at 7 first, 7 through 11. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall have witnesses, be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let me qualify this. Jesus has a spirit. But God is a spirit. Jesus is a man. Spirit. Soul and body. And when he had chosen these things, which while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he's coming again. He's coming the same way he went, according to the angels. Uh-huh. So Jesus is a resurrected, changed man. He went through metamorphose. He still had flesh and bones, and he still ate food, but he had no blood. He gave that blood for us to become like him. He took our sin. He was the blood sacrifice, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. All right, go to Revelation 7. Start with verse 1 there. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I think I've got the wrong chapter. Just a minute. I didn't want that one. I had... It's chapter 5, sorry. And if you disagree, don't shut me down. I don't like that. I feel it. Just hear me out. Hear me out. All right, chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God set forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And that's what was unsealed. But anyway, he was the only one that was worthy to open the book that Daniel had sealed until this time. All right, let's keep going. It's rampant today in the media that it's Christ consciousness. In fact, some people even discount, there's a new one on the scene that's, I don't know what to think about him. He discounts Jesus. And I'm thinking, how can they discount Jesus? But that's what they're doing. And a lot of others do too. They get into all this, I just think they've stepped over a line. I'm not their judge. God's their judge. But I'm telling you, today, Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. And he's coming back just the way he said he was. And I don't care what anybody else says about it. The Word makes it clear what he's going to do. And I have to believe today that God has more power than to let every bit of his Word just be torn up and thrown away somewhere. I don't believe that. The living Word lives inside of us. And we got to know who we are, especially if they pull off their stunt. If they're able to do that, there's going to be a lot of people deceived. There may be some of us have to pull others out of the fire because we got to let them know, you've listened to a lot of junk, but that's not true. You need to get back to your Bible. You need to get back to the Word that we do have. I'd say if you had one scripture, you've got enough. All right. They discount that he's coming in the flesh. And that's the gauge that we will use. We're told to use in the scriptures to find out who they are and who they are of. I don't care what the ascended masters have to say about it. I'm sure you've heard that garbage. The only ascension I care about, that's the mindset of the body of Christ to go forward and do what God's requiring of us in this time. The only Christ consciousness we need is Christ in us, the hope of glory. All right. He is the one that's going to save us, not a higher frequency, not better food, not med beds. I got something today with Microsoft. It's about the new AI upgrade. Okay. First John 4. This is what we're going to remember this scripture, because you may have to use it. You know, we may have to get in someone's face and say, "You're a bald-faced liar." 1 John 4, starting with verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Don't we know it? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." Now we know where Mr., you know, I'll say OP guy. He's denying Jesus come in the flesh. You know where to put his stuff? In the trash can. PN, I'll say Mr. PN or Mr. JFK. Read that again. "Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Simple. That's how you're going to know. You know who not to listen to now, right? I feel bad for those that have gone off the rails that were once believers that are still believers, but they are all messed up in this. We've looked many times about how the devil deceives. Go to John 10. He comes to steal the word. That is his number one weapon. So that means our best weapon is the word then, right? John 10. Starting with verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold," that's Jesus, "but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." What's his voice? The word. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." It's just been the last, 7 years, all this weirdness has come out. These alternative gospels, if you will. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Anytime you hear it, you go, eh. It's like, mm. That doesn't sound right. It's because it isn't right. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Do you think for a minute that he's not capable of herding his sheep and leading them? "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. I don't care if they tell you they're in Space Force. That's where a lot of this weirdness has come from. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. For as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He gave his life to see that we make it to safety. And all this other stuff, you might have to weed some things out of what you're listening to. Stick to the word. It's the best news that you'll ever hear. It's called the good news. Many of them sound convincing, but they are absolutely deceived. Many of them say they're Christians. Well, Jesus knew this was going to happen in the last days. All right? Jesus said this in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what they say you have to do and all these other alternatives. Ain't happening. That's it. If you don't come through Jesus, I'm sorry. You're not getting in. You're not getting in. The door will be shut. A lot of people have bought into these alternatives, but you know how come? They don't know the word. If they knew the word, they'd be stable when all these, every wind of doctrine starts blowing through. All right. Ephesians 4. All right, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that's the only ascension I care about. He ascended up on high. And Lee led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Right here, there was a reference in the Strong's for cunning. So here's there wasn't a reference. So here's just what the dictionary says about cunning. It means crafty, clever, and surreptitious behavior. Clever. They make it sound like it just kind of eases in there and it discounts everything that you know to be true. It's like bait. And the Strong's craftiness means just trickery. Well, who's the trickster? The devil. They are convincing, but they are wrong. All right, 2 Peter 1. Start with verse 12 there. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. See, we're not to let these things slip, the things we know. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to talk about false prophets. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Ha! Huh. Is that what's happening today? Exactly. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Is this talking about today? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Remember the word about honoring our leaders? Don't bash your leaders. Pray for your leaders. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Remember, the ones that are bringing the deception were deceived themselves first. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his mighty, or for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. The scripture says, I guess over there in Timothy, they'd send a strong delusion, so they believe a lie. And that's absolutely what's going on. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought to bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled thereof and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This is dangerous. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Oh, Lord, help us. Help these people. All right, let's keep going. 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Lord, just quicken something to me. All Hollywood and all media, everything is all being controlled by the cabal. That's Satan's crowd. What is one thing that Satan can't do? Tell the truth. So think about that. All these narratives have come out. They have tried to push the alien agenda on everyone because they want to stage that fake rescue that we talked about Wednesday night. We're not going anywhere, but we've got to be anchored. And that's why the Lord wanted you to know this today, because I believe we're there. And many people are being deceived. It really concerns me. You got two camps over here. You got ones believing all this, the fanaticism there. And then on the other side, you got the ones that are so steeped in big pharma. They're both of the devil. Yeah. All right. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. I know when it all started coming out, it made me feel so bad. I felt like, Lord, they've come to take you away from us. The thief, he cometh not but for to steal. I just read you John 10, chapter 10. There it is right there. An alternative gospel. All right. Let's keep going. 1 Timothy 4:7. Let me just start with verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, seducing was like with Eve. Hath God said? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and unwise favors, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. They're even trying to make it look like the real God is really Zeus. You know, all this mythology stuff that we were raised in school, the false narrative. That that's really God. That you've been scammed. That whoever you identify as God is God. Because God is God of all. No. Hear, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one God. You'll have no other gods before me. Kind of refutes that, doesn't it? All right. Let's move on. 2 Timothy 4. 4:4. I'm going to go to, let's just do, start with 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap together teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Mythology, myths, and legends. That's what the ascended masters are. You don't come in contact with the ascended masters until you've breached the ethereal plane. That means you're channeling and you're getting in contact with the devil in that realm. Yeah, that's the interdimensional travel. And the only way to do that is you participate in certain kinds of sacrifices and certain kind of things that are forbidden, Old and New Testament. These people are saying they're Christians and believe in Jesus. Some people believe Jesus is on the council with the Palladians. Have you heard that one? Oh, it just gets weirder and weirder. I'm thinking, it is so unrestrained. And just, no, anyway. Titus 1:14. All right, Titus. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now they've hijacked Judaism. They're under the Talmud. They're not under the Torah. What does the Talmud practice? They're Satan worshipers, child sacrificers, adrenochrome drinkers, pedophiles, and cannibals. Right here. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. That's what it says here. They have turned from the truth. These are the ones started out as the Phoenicians, and then they hijacked and bought that land there, the Rothschild operation. That is not God's Israel. In fact, I'm not so sure that the Israel of God, from what I'm seeing, is here in the United States. The biggest population of people who call themselves Jews live here. Palestine, that land's theirs. I don't care if anybody likes it or not. It's the truth. They stole it from them, just like they stole everything from everybody else. The church is going to have a rude awakening. Now you know why Stolgard's got to go home, because they're the ones that defend Israel to the death. Well, they may be your demise. I don't say that lightly. Lord, help them to see the truth. See where we are. All right. We all were duped, but we've had the opportunity to stick with the truth and go with the truth, right? All right. That was Titus. All right, fables, a fictitious tale. Jesus is our high priest that came in the flesh, died as a man, was resurrected from the dead, and has now passed into the heavens and is seated at the Father's right hand. And the angels told the disciples that he was coming again in the same manner that he left. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. verse 13 says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know why I read this? Because I think there was some people upset thinking it already happened. Somebody had an alternative, something wrong, and he had to deal with it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the right thing to do, isn't it, when he comes to meet him? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Didn't say we're going back to heaven. He's coming here. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You can know the sign of the times just by that right there. That ain't happened yet, so that's where we sit. You don't have to believe all these lies. All right, 1 John 3:2. And this is, I just think, Lord, I'm so ready for this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be just like him. That's why he came as a man. He identified with our humanity. He is our high priest because he is a man, the man Christ Jesus, and he knows how we feel, and he's touched by our feelings, and he was tempted like we are tempted. He knows what you're feeling. All right, I'm going to make this brief. We just got a few more and we'll be done. Hebrews 4. Excuse me. But I hope you remember this. It'll be one that's, this is a marker. Today is a marker. How you're to look at things in the narrative from here out. If it don't line up with what you've heard today, discount it. I'm here to keep you safe. I watch for your soul. I don't know what's coming. God does. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's there for us. He's touched by what we go through. I was under heavy attack a couple of days ago. I mean, I was shaking so bad. I couldn't hardly stand. I didn't know what to do, and the Word of God came to me, get out Ephesians chapter 6 and read about the armor of God, and it talks about stand, when you've done all to stand. And when I read that, it was like, bam, anchor. The anchor for the soul. That's where we have to maintain that the control. Okay. I read you 14 through 16. Okay. Luke 22. As soon as you can, get this flash drive, and I want you to write down the scriptures that I've given to you. When you come across these naysayers, or you come across Christians that are not grounded in their faith, you hit them with machine gun bullets with those scriptures. Don't listen to that stuff. And I'll give you scriptural proof why you should not. All right, 22:39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, and nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as a it was of great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and he come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. It says they all forsook him and fled. Matthew 16. Just remember what the word Danny had Wednesday night about the alien rescue. When you have an opportunity, you can warn people. Don't believe it. Whatever you see, run in your house, grab your Bible, get on your bed. Whatever you got to do, just don't engage. Don't engage. All right, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, okay, don't need to read that. You know, I think about it, and I think all the narratives that are playing out there, is it all just a big psyop for the Lord to show who his true people really are, to come forth out of this craziness? Who's left standing at the end of the day? Sometimes I think so. All right, Luke 2. All right, 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had filled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. He's a little boy. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto his son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these secrets in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He matured as a man. He had to mature as a man to stand in that place. That's why I read that to you. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Starting with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. There's the three dimensions here. I don't even think about the fifth, but here's the three. Authority in three worlds, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right, back to Hebrews. Nearly done. Chapter 2. I just want to qualify this. Like I said, so you won't forget. (Clears throat) 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He knows how you feel because he's been there. I'm so thankful today for that. All right, Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest, verse 1, taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said, but that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So he's our high priest. He is making intercession for us. Okay, chapter 6. Let me start with 17 there. No, I'm sorry, I got to read all of it. Let's start at 13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, I'm not going to go into Melchizedek, but anyway, Jesus is made in the likeness of Melchizedek. Okay, first two more. 1 Peter. Well, it's 1 Peter, but I didn't put the verse, so we'll go to John 1:14. Well, let's stop here. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right.